Welcome to the UX Podcast, where we learn how to turn a rockstar business into a UX machine. UX introduces a simple formula for personal and business growth based around one principle. We can't solve big, valuable problems alone. Starting with this principle, UX equips and empowers us to pour ourselves into people and systems, scale authentically, and create a life of exponential freedom and impact. And now, let's get started with the latest episode of the UX Podcast. What's up, rock stars? It's Matt Johnson. We are back again, and we're going to have some fun today because we are myth busting. We're talking about the five biggest misconceptions about podcasting, especially business podcasting. I don't know about you, but when I talk to people about podcasting, part of their frame of reference is, you know, non-business podcasts, you know, like Serial and all the NPR stuff and The Daily and all this, basically things that have nothing to do with business, right? Then you've got the Joe Rogans and Adam Carollas of the world who have turned a comedy podcast into a business through sponsorships. And basically what we have here is kind of a perfect mix for a whole bunch of misconceptions when it actually comes to influencers in the business world starting, launching, growing, and running successful, profitable podcasts, right? If you're listening to this, it's probably because you don't work at NPR, you're not starting up a news podcast or a daily events podcast, and you're certainly not starting a fictional podcast of any kind. You're here because you're thinking about podcasting for business, and you want to promote probably your service business. Most likely, you're a business coach, a consultant, or you're running a creative business like an agency, and you want a podcast to attract clients. So when we talk about misconceptions and myths, these things are not necessarily not true in general. And they're not, it's not that they're not true if you're NPR or if you're Joe Rogan or Adam Carolla or whatever. I love all those guys and that's fine, but they are misconceptions when it comes to the world of business podcasting. So I just want to clear that up first before we actually jump into the myths, because for us, the world is changing. It's changing every day. Like, we want to build our business, we want to solve real problems, and we want to make an impact in the world, right? Like, that's why we're here. The problem is we're not alone, right? So every day, like, especially if you watch your Facebook feed, your Instagram feed, you're probably being served up Instagram and Facebook ads by the next influencer who's either nipping at your heels or going after the same niche that you're going after. Some of them are legitimate, and that's fine. They're your opponents in the game. They're the battle for attention. These are your opponents. But the others are just newly minted, self-proclaimed, experts. Who are going to flame out in a couple of years if they even last that long. They're starting a podcast and they're going to be one of the two-thirds of podcasts who don't release a new episode 3 or 6 months after they launch, right? But the problem is your clients don't know that. Your audience doesn't know that. They're looking at it going, hey, this person could be legit. This person could be legit. They all have Facebook ads. They all have podcasts. So what happens when every influencer has a podcast? That's what we really want to address. But first, I want to jump into those myths. So number one, this is what I hear all the time. I can build a big podcast if I just hustle because I've got a great positive attitude. People are going to love my energy. Not true. Building a podcast, a big podcast, to me, coming from a music background, is very similar to writing a hit song. You can look at every band that wrote a hit song and work backwards and found that they worked hard and they hustled, right? But that doesn't mean that just because you work hard and hustle means you'll have a hit song, right? There's plenty of bands out there who burn themselves out from working hard and hustling and wrote 1,000 songs and not a single one of them ever turned out to be a hit. So it's not about the working hard. It's not about the hustle. When you really dig into virtually all the big podcasts, especially the ones that have launched in the last couple of years after iTunes went through its initial growth phase, the people that launched and had big podcast launches like Tim Ferriss and Digital Marketer and stuff like that, they were established brands. And I would say in 90% of those cases, they had not only just big brands, they had big established email lists. In other words, they had the right to communicate with a big group of people to tell them about their podcast. So then you look at the people who maybe started off small and you find out, okay, well, most of them started small, but they started when iTunes was still in this explosive growth phase and they rode that wave. Joe Rogan, in his case, rode two different waves. And we'll talk about that maybe another time. So the number two misconception is when I get big download numbers, I'll get big profits. Unfortunately, that's also not true. In fact, there are podcast hosts who get tens of thousands of downloads and speak at major events. And there are people that I've personally interviewed on my podcast who have hundreds of thousands of followers on social media that can't figure out how to make a profit off their audience. Big audience and big numbers don't equal big profits, right? The going rate for sponsorship, just to give you some perspective, If you were to go sponsor an ad on Joe Rogan's podcast right now, you're going to pay, I think, $25 to $50 for every 1,000 downloads. That's the going rate. Behind the scenes, they could be negotiating more or less. It probably depends. But that's kind of what I've heard is the going rate for sponsorships. So $25 to $50 for every 1,000 downloads. The average podcast gets 200 downloads per episode. So you're talking about, if you kind of extrapolate that, first of all, you'd have to get to the point where you get 1,000 downloads. And then even if you did, you could maybe sell a sponsorship for $25 to $50. That's a couple hundred bucks per episode if you're doing a weekly show. This is not big money, right? For business podcasts, you can build a 6- or 7-figure business off of a podcast that gets no more than 1,000 downloads an episode. If you went out and tried to build a sponsorship business based on that, it would end up making you $200 a month. It's basically walking around change. So number three misconception is people are starving. For real conversations. Sadly, I believe that's also not true. In fact, if you go into any niche in entrepreneurship or business, you can find a podcast featuring real conversations, quote unquote, with the entrepreneurs in that space. And so unfortunately, we are past the point where that is a unique differentiator. You can try to go deeper and get people to reveal even more. Let's talk about the mistakes. Let's get real. Let's get emotional. You know, one of my friends came to me one time and said, like, hey, I'm really good at getting people to really dig in. It's like, I can really make people cry. The problem is that may work once or twice. The problem is once people know that that's your shtick, they're prepared for it. And they're either going to say no to your show if they don't want to be presented that way, or they're going to show up armed to the interview expecting that, and they're not going to give it to you. So we can't base our entire, like hang our entire competitive advantage of our podcast on something that isn't sustainable. And so real conversations are a dime a dozen at this point, and trying to go deeper than that and trying to get super emotional or whatever, those types of, you know, Barbara Walters types interviews, is just not going to work in the business podcasting world because people will just say no to your podcast. So the fourth misconception is, okay, I'm the coach, I'm the consultant, I'm the leader in my field, I have the best service, so I should be able to build the top podcast in my space. Sadly, delivering a better service on the back end guarantees nothing when it comes to podcasting. I wish that wasn't true, but it is 100% true, and I've seen it over and over again. You might be in the trenches every day delivering the best results to clients, getting them great ROI. It doesn't mean that your podcast, if you were to launch one or if you already have one, it doesn't guarantee anything. It doesn't mean that your podcast is going to hit mainstream success. That's a very different animal, right? Very, very different. So just because you have the best service, or even if you have the biggest coaching firm in a niche, doesn't mean that you will then go on to build the biggest podcast in that space. In fact, I would say a lot of times those things are almost mutually exclusive because they both require focus. And the people that have built the biggest podcast in a niche, I see oftentimes don't have the biggest service business in that niche. It's rarely the same one. Now, that's not to say that it shouldn't be, but I do see that it just, both of those things require focus, and it's hard to do. So another misconception, my podcast is for everyone in my industry, so I have a huge potential audience. An entire industry is not a niche. If you have a podcast where you think that everyone in that industry can listen, what you've really done is built a podcast that doesn't speak to anyone strongly enough to get them to give you a chance. You just make it a hard road. Building a podcast to serve all real estate agents or all loan officers or small business owners, God forbid, it's going to be extremely hard because in order to appeal to that many different types of people, you have to water down your message. You almost can't say anything too unique or polarizing. And as a result, it's difficult to strongly attract the people that you want to listen. Now, if you point to examples like Gary Vee and Tony Robbins, I could do complete episode teardowns of their entire strategy and what their clear and compelling idea in the world is. And what makes those guys so unique is they came along at the exact right time with the exact right clear and compelling idea that had a mass appeal that cut across a bunch of different niches and categories, a bunch of different segments of different types of small business owners. They found the perfect message, the perfect time, and it resonated. And they had all the personal characteristics that were a good fit for that clear and compelling idea, and they had the staying power to keep hammering away at it over and over and over again. There's a lot that went into that. So that is a very, very, very rare case where you can find a clear and compelling idea and the right timing, and you're the right messenger for that message to build a podcast or to build a business that's meant for an entire industry. All right. And I'll finish up with this one last one, which is I'll just interview all the big influencers and they'll share their episodes. Sadly, that is a joke today. The days of starting a profitable podcast based on interviews alone are pretty much gone. Here's my belief on this. Interviews create demand for more interviews. Right. Now, that's not to say that we don't have conversations on our podcast, because we actually absolutely do. It's built into our weekly podcast formula, but there's a specific purpose. They are not just interviews. They are conversations with influencers who share certain key beliefs that we want to get across. That's the way that we feel like that fits into podcasting. The other dirty little secret about having big name influencers on your show is, number one, they're super busy. So they often come in wildly unprepared. Like super fast, super quick. I was just talking to somebody who, a client of hers, had Gary V as the first guest on their podcast. And he basically just walked in the room, sat down, said, go. As soon as they were done with five questions, he's like, great. All right, on to the next thing. Bam, he's out the door. Now, do you really think you're going to have a deep, authentic conversation with Gary V? No. Is he going to share your episode? Maybe. Maybe his staff will share it on Twitter, but he's not certainly not going to put much of his horsepower of his new media machine behind your interview, right? He's got his own thing going on. Most big influencers do. So the idea that we're just going to interview all the big influencers on our show and they're going to share their episode, it's just not going to happen. That's not reality. So what is reality? I am, if you know anything at all about me from listening to the podcast, or if you encounter me in any way, hopefully you pick up the sense that I am passionate about the truth, right? I want to get to the reality of what works and what doesn't, what gets results and what doesn't. So let me go through a few things. First, when everyone is using the same tactics, strategy is what determines who wins. My belief is that we're not far from the day when every business influencer has their own podcast, some sort of show. Most of them will be unprofitable and short-lived, right? The 80-20 rule applies to all, right? 100 podcasts launch, 80% of them are going to suck and probably be defunct in 6 months or whatever. 20 of them will be good. Maybe a small portion of those will be great and go on to have great success. So getting our strategy right is what gives us the best chance of building a profitable podcast. Now, number two, what's true? What's true about business podcasting? Number two, monetizing a podcast isn't our goal. Building a podcast that delivers ROI to our business is the goal. So let me say that again. Monetizing the podcast isn't the goal. Building a podcast that delivers ROI to our business is the goal. So that means building influence and driving sales, not building a big audience to sell sponsorships that end up sending our traffic out to other companies and other influencers, right? That's a very different way of approaching podcasting, but I think it's the right way to approach a podcast for a niche business influencer. All right, number three, what works? The fastest way that I found to build an audience is to create hyper-specific content for a very small, lucrative niche. Right now, if you're an influencer, if you're an expert in some niche, there are ideal clients out there who are looking for really specific content to solve their problems. And if you create content just for them, you're going to get found because they're already looking for it. They're already on YouTube. They're already on listening to podcasts. They're already Googling stuff on how to solve their problem because it's a pain point in their business or in their life, right? So if they're already searching for it and you create exactly the right hyper-specific content just for them, they're going to find it. It's just a matter of time and making it easy for them to find it. So to me, that's the fastest way of building an audience. Create content just for the people you want to serve and impact and make it hyper-specific just for them. Oftentimes, these people that are in the most pain and are searching for the content are often the early adopters who are the people that are the most likely to consume your podcast and turn around and share it with their friends who might not be in as much pain, but eventually will be to the point where they need your service as well. So you want that group of early adopters finding your show, reaching out, consuming it, sharing it, you know, telling their friends about it, talking about you in private Facebook groups behind the scenes with all their, you know, colleagues and peers that are in the same business they are, all that stuff. Like that to me is the fastest way to build an audience. All right, what works? Number four. The long-term key to a profitable podcast is converting beliefs and creating ideal clients, right? Because the world of people out there that are already primed and ready to buy from us if they just knew we existed is very small. But the audience of people who could and should buy from us if they're nurtured in the right way is a lot bigger. And that's where our podcast comes into play. There simply aren't enough people out there in the world who are already at this very moment an ideal client. So the job of our podcast is to create new ideal clients by building trust and authority, converting them to our beliefs, and destroying objections in advance. So when I look at a profitable podcast, I think of it like an incubator that turns a cold audience into ideal clients. These are the people who believe the right things, they're moving in the right direction, and they're going to get the results that we promise when they work with us because they already come in having been converted to the things that we believe, okay? So our podcast should be an incubator that converts beliefs and creates new ideal clients. And finally, five is peace of mind. Peace of mind comes, I believe, by focusing on what we can control. We cannot control whether an episode goes viral. We can't control whether we hit new and noteworthy in Apple. We can't control whether Spotify takes off and becomes the new iTunes for podcasts, right? We can't control any of those things. A profitable podcast, I believe, is built on fundamentals that we can control. Things like building an engaged, targeted email list, consistently getting featured on other podcasts to reach new audiences, inviting the right influencers onto our podcast to have conversations, leveraging those relationships, right? Getting into co-marketing and partnership and referral, you know, arrangements with those people, making friends with them, speaking at their events, all that fun stuff. Promoting an offer that gets our audience to take action, right? All those things are completely under our control. Those are the things that I believe we should be focusing on. So creating a podcast that delivers 10x ROI to your business means break away from the conventional advice, especially break away from advice that isn't even aimed at business influencers. It's aimed at people that are trying to take big brands or do the latest NPR style show or do a fictional podcast or another comedy podcast that's inspired by Joe Rogan, as if the world needs another one of those. Ignore all the advice that's intended or coming from those areas, and let's focus on the things that work for actually cutting through the noise, building an audience, and generating a 10x ROI to a business, right? And so I've got some more material on this, but we'll stop there for now. You've heard my rant on misconceptions and the five things that I believe work when it comes to business podcasting. So if you're interested in more, reach out to us. Go to our website. You'll find the links and everything in the show notes below. And let's talk. If that's something that you want to do, if you feel like this is the next step for you, is to work out your strategy for how you're attacking this, how you're getting featured, how you're launching your show or running your podcast or whatever the case is, reach out. We'd love to have a conversation. So, and with that, thank you again for listening. I really appreciate your time and attention, and we'll see you soon. Hey, Rockstars, thank you so much. I appreciate you investing your time, your effort, your energy into the show. I don't take that lightly. I so appreciate you all listening and the feedback that I get from those of you who listen and engage with the show, whether you agree or disagree with the things we talk about. I love hearing from you, so please reach out. And if you are in the audience and you're a business coach, a consultant, or you're in creative services, and you're thinking about using guest appearances on podcasts and interviews to boost your business, grow your brand, build more influence, and attract ideal clients, or maybe you're watching other people in your space do that and you're wondering if this strategy will work for you and how to make that work, I did a special training with a client, Dana Malstaff, who runs the Boss Mom podcast. We produce her show. And we did a training all about that. And it's called How to Get Featured on the Right Podcast and Get Your Ideal Clients Flocking to You. And a few of the things that we covered in that training, it's short, it's content packed, it's only about 35 minutes long. And we talked about how to get featured on podcasts in less than 2 hours a week, how to find the exact right podcast for you and make friends with those podcast hosts, how to become micro famous so you're known, liked, and trusted in your space, and really how to craft a story hook that really gets the attention of podcast hosts and gets them to say yes when you reach out and pitch yourself as a guest. And so we talk about all that and a bunch more in that training. So it's available at howtogetfeatured.com. That's howtogetfeatured.com. Pop your information in there. It's free and you get it in, you know, instant access to watch. You don't have to wait for a follow-up email. You don't have to wait for a fake webinar that's not actually live. None of that. It's a recorded training. You get instant access. So go check it out. I'd appreciate it. And I've said it before on previous episodes. This is my number one marketing strategy for myself for 2019. And I learned a lot of these things in the process of building the system for myself and my staff to pitch me as a expert guest on podcasts. And whenever somebody, whether it's one of my own clients or my friends and peers and colleagues in this space that we all run in, it's my number one recommendation for them to grow their brand, build their influence, and attract ideal clients. So if that's you and you want more of that, go check that out. That's at howtogetfeatured.com. Thanks again so much, and we'll see you on the next episode of the UX Podcast.